If you have a copy of God's Word, please turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28, and I'll read for us in a moment verses 18 through 20. Let me lead us in prayer first. Our Father, we thank you for gathering us together this morning, and we thank you that as we come together, that we can open up your word to us and that we can hear your word taught to us. And we just pray that as we come, you would help us to understand your truth and help us to understand how your truth should impact everything in our lives. We pray that this would be a very fruitful time, a time where your Holy Spirit comes and works in our hearts, works in our minds, and truly affects change within us. We all come with a past. We all come with present struggles. And we know that your word speaks peace to us, that the blood of Jesus Christ really brings cleansing. And we pray that you'd help us to understand these things, and that as we sit under the preaching of your word, you would change us. We ask for your help now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, in the first book of the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew, we're told that after Jesus died and was raised again from the dead, he met with his disciples. And when he met with his disciples, he sent them out on mission. He commissioned his followers to go into all the world and to make other disciples. So to go to all the nations and make other disciples. Go with the message that through his death, he really did provide forgiveness of sins. He died in the place of sinners, so now forgiveness of sins could be offered to others. And he really did come back to life. And so the disciples would go into all the world offering forgiveness of sins and everlasting life. Go into all the world, make other disciples, Jesus says. Help them to see that there's forgiveness and there's everlasting life through the work of Jesus. And a crucial part of this mission, going into all the world, is showing where forgiveness is found, showing where everlasting life can be found. And then Jesus says, as you make disciples, make sure as you go that you baptize them. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Baptize them in the name of the triune God. And then teach them to live as God calls people to live. Let's read these verses, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Jesus giving this mission, this commission to his followers. He says to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So we've seen this mission of God, him sending his church on mission, and we see here, number one, baptism is an important part of the mission of the church. Baptism is an important part. It's here in this commissioning statement of Jesus. It's an important part of the mission of the church. It is to have a central place in the life and in the worship of the church. Why? Because the church, by its very nature, according to its purpose given by God, it is to always be growing, always expanding, always adding disciples. The church is to be looking for ways to bring other people in to understand the forgiveness of sins and the everlasting life that are found in Jesus alone. So the church, by its very nature, is to be growing, calling others to enjoy Christ, enjoy God with them. And as people come in, what does Jesus say must happen as disciples come to follow Jesus? They are to be baptized. So we pray that as we look forward, right at the beginning stages of our church, we pray that over the years together, we will see many people baptized. Why? Because it's a sign that God is blessing the work and bringing others to follow Jesus. Other people are finding the forgiveness of sins, the everlasting life that are found in Jesus alone. So we pray that it's a part of our life, it's a part of our worship, many people baptized because they've come to know what is only found in Jesus Christ. So first, baptism is an important part of the mission of the church. Two, I want to speak briefly here, a little caveat. Baptism and Redeemer Ann Arbor. We are unique in some ways. This will be brief. We could spend a lot of time here. This will be brief. We are unique, but we are not completely unique, right? We're taking an uncommon approach to baptism, but I do think it's a very exciting and positive approach. We've said that, right? So briefly here, throughout church history, there have been two prominent views of those who should be baptized, the recipients of baptism. Some argue that only those who profess faith in Christ should be baptized, while others argue that those who profess faith in Christ and their children should be baptized. Throughout church history, two dominant views. But here is the rub. Here is what is important this morning. In these two groups, two different views, two different understandings, there are people who argue their position based on a commitment to the truth of the Bible and based on the commitment that the Bible is the only guide for how we do church, really how we do everything, and thus how we baptize in the church. So in these two groups, different ideas, different approaches. In these two groups, yes, there are some that say we do this because that's how we've always done it. This is just tradition, so that's what we're going to do. But in these two groups, there is a segment of people that all say, we are doing this because we believe the Bible is completely true, and we believe this is what the Bible teaches. So if there are people in both groups that say that, then we believe that we as a church can humbly come together with different views, respect and love those who differ from us on this subject of the recipients of baptism, practice both kinds of baptism in the life of the church, honoring both views of baptism in the life of the church. Why? For the sake of Jesus' commission to go into all the world, to come to Ann Arbor with the message of Jesus that there really is forgiveness of sins, that there really is everlasting life in Him. So we can work together because we're in this common focus of mission. We can operate in this way together. So, right, Pastor Bart believes that only those who profess faith in Jesus should be baptized. I believe that believers and their children should be baptized. He's a Baptist, I'm a Presbyterian. Usually those two don't come together. Well, we're family, so we have to be together. But in a church, usually those two people don't come together and plant a church together. But we believe it's a beautiful picture of the priority of the mission of God, the gospel of God. We can work together as we differ. We both can teach what we believe Scripture teaches, but in humility, love, and move forward in this primary commission of Jesus to reach a lost world with what they need, the forgiveness of sins and everlasting life. So a lot more could be said there, but that is an aspect of who we are at Redeemer, and that is what we plan to do. But I think it's easy to get distracted from this topic by talking about all those things. So after that brief caveat of who we are, I want us to focus on what is baptism, what does it signify, and why is it important for us? I want us to look at baptism, considering it as it is a gift from God to us, a beautiful gift that we often, at least in the church, tend to get distracted. We get distracted by these other arguments as we come to baptism. So what is the first thing that comes into your mind when you hear the word baptism? So what are some of the things that pop into your mind when you hear the word baptism? Do you immediately go to the different approaches to baptism within the church, wondering why some churches do this, other churches do this? Do you immediately go to some theological reason why you know your view is right on this matter? Or maybe just confused with the differences? So I think these issues are important. And I think every disciple of Jesus should study these issues, study these two understandings in church history and come to a conviction on it. But these are not essential to the gospel, and these questions are not even the primary emphasis of baptism as we see it in the Bible. That's not the primary emphasis of the Bible. And so that's what we're looking at this morning. Why do we have baptism? What is the emphasis of the Bible on this subject? A few illustrations as we begin. I think it's like this. like a elderly couple celebrating their 50th anniversary. After being happily married for 50 years, on their 50th anniversary day, they get into this huge fight about what happened the first time they met. So he thinks one thing, she thinks another thing. 50th anniversary, what are they supposed to be doing? Celebrating 50 years of marriage together, but that gets overshadowed by arguing about what really happened on that first date. Or another illustration, I think it's like a bunch of old guys from Hickory, Indiana, all on the championship team of the Hickory Hoosiers, front porch right in Hickory, maybe the hardware store, and they get into this big fight about who passed the ball to Jimmy Chitwood when he hit the winning shot for the championship. They get in a fight over that when they should be standing back thinking, we are a part of the greatest championship in the history of sports, right? If you've seen the movie Hoosiers, right? The greatest championship ever. That gets overlooked by arguing about these other details. I think that's what happens within the church when we discuss baptism and get distracted by these other arguments, as important as they are. All right, next. Baptism is a gift from Jesus. It is his idea. Getting to the point of baptism, the purpose of baptism. Jesus is the one who told his church to do this. He gave it to us. He instituted it as a sign of something, as a sign of what he does for people. Those who trust in Jesus, those who believe in Jesus, will have their souls washed clean. So in baptism, we see water as a symbol. Why water? Because water points to the real cleansing, the perfect cleansing that only comes through the blood of Jesus Christ. He will forgive sins. He will wash everything inside us. All the dark stains, all the dark red, crimson, scarlet stains of our souls, he will wash them and he will make us white as snow. So as water washes us in daily living, so the baptismal waters point to the washing, the cleansing that only Jesus provides. It's like a billboard, a sign being put before us. Every time we have a baptism, a sign is put before us. There really is cleansing. There really is a way. As we look at our past, as we look even at our present, all the dirty things within us, there really is a place to live in this world cleansed, accepted, forgiven because of the blood of Jesus that washes us clean. It's a gift from Jesus. Further here, baptism is a gift of condescending communication. That sounds negative, but it's not meant to be. Baptism is given from Jesus to the church. It's a gift of condescending. God comes down to us. He gets us. He understands how we think. He understands how we struggle. He understands life. So what does God do for us? He gives his church, one thing he does for us, he gives his church baptism to help us to understand what is real, to help us understand what is true, to help us understand that there really is cleansing. He knows the weakness of our faith as we live in this world and we struggle between faith and lack of faith, belief and unbelief. He knows that we will struggle. And so not only does he give us the church so that we can be in community and someone can stand in front and preach these things and say these things so that we can hear these things, he in his grace, understanding our weakness, also gives us a visible picture that we all, as we see the baptism before us, we all can also see, yes, the gospel is true. There really is cleansing. And when we are baptized, not only can we see it, but we can feel the water either go over us or we go into the water. I would say it doesn't really matter, but the water is a picture that this is true. And Jesus, knowing our weakness, knowing that as we live our daily lives, we go back and forth between belief and unbelief, he says, yes, I'll have a preacher preach it to them so they hear it, but also have a visible sign before them so they see it. And I will give them something that they can touch and feel, a tangible picture of the gospel. So God in his grace comes down to us. He knows our weakness and he gives us this gift of baptism. There are really two things that in a few weeks we'll look at the Lord's Supper. These are the sacraments or ordinances of the church. He does this for us also in the Lord's Supper, right? We pass the bread so we can hold the bread. We have the cup of wine so we can eat the bread, and we know Jesus Jesus' body was broken for us. As I feel this bread being broken in my mouth, I know Jesus died. And as I drink the wine, I know that his blood was poured out for me. These are gifts from God so that we not only hear it, we see it, we touch it, we taste it in the Lord's Supper. Baptism is a gift to us that we need in the weakness of our faith. Old confession, the Belgic confession, says it like this. Now they believed you could pour water in baptism or sprinkle. That's not the point right now, but listen to what they say. Baptism signifies to us, it's a sign to us, that as water washes away the filth of the body, you take a bath, you take a shower, water washes away the filth of the body, when poured upon it or seen on the body, as water washes away the filth of the body, when poured upon it, and is seen on the body of the baptized, when sprinkled upon him, so doth the blood of Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, really sprinkle the soul, cleanse it from its sins, and regenerate us, give us new life as children of God. That's why we have baptism. Jesus is saying these things are real. The gospel is real. Let's go further in this. Now, so baptism is a gift from Jesus. Baptism is a gift of his condescending communication to us. Now baptism is a gift that helps us understand and live in the gospel. Some of these things are emphasized further. Baptism is a gift that helps us understand and live in the gospel. What does baptism communicate to us? It tells us that we belong to Jesus. It's an identity marker. We are a part of Jesus' people, Jesus' community. We are adopted into a new family. We are identified with Jesus through baptism. The church is organized around those who are baptized, united to Christ, attached to him. It's the community sign. We're in the church. We're under the gospel. We receive the teaching, the encouragement, the discipleship. We have the privilege of serving side by side in the church. So baptism is a gift that helps us understand and live in the gospel. First, it tells us that we belong to Jesus. As we learned in Sunday school, children, right? We are not our own, but belong, all of us, body and soul, both in life and death, to God and to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Baptism is that sign that we are connected to Jesus. So it tells us that we belong to Jesus. It's a testimony for us that we are his followers. See it in the book of Acts. We see it in the New Testament. The call to people is believe and be baptized. And people, as they believe, they stand before the church and are baptized. It is their testimony that they have faith in Jesus. It is a testimony that they are associated, identifying with Jesus. Their allegiance is with him. The call to believe and be baptized is to mark the people of God. And it does serve as a way for us to say, yes, he is my God. Yes, he is my Savior. Yes, I will live for him. Helps us to live in the gospel in that way. And lastly, the emphasis of Scripture, baptism is a gift that helps us understand and live in the gospel. Because why? We can find real cleansing from every sin and stain in Jesus. Beautiful emphasis of Scripture. And the sad reality is that a lot of people in this world have no way to deal with their guilt. When their souls feel dirty, when they feel the shame and the guilt that comes because of sin, because of moral failure, there is no place for them to go. They have no idea where to go. So they try to cover it up in other ways. Well, what is the message of Jesus specifically seen in this beautiful gift of baptism? That you don't have to go looking in all these other places. There really is a way. Whatever your past, as bad as you can imagine, there really is a place for you to come to Jesus. And because he died that horrible death, his blood was shed. Through that precious blood that was shed, there is cleansing from every sin and stain. What an amazing message we have for the world around us. Yeah, the university and other intellectuals try to say we shouldn't be guilty anymore because there are no moral standards and we live however we please. But you see, this strange persistence of guilt, the strange persistence of guilt in our society, guilt remains and people do not know how to shake it, how to deal with it. where to go. The message of the church, the message of the church even through baptism, tells us where to go, to Jesus Christ. There is complete cleansing. A way to see this in scriptures in Acts 22. In Acts 22, I won't read much of there, but let me hear. Here Paul, the early leader of the church, is standing before really his enemies, religious leaders in Jerusalem, who are accusing him. And as he stands before them, he goes back and tells his story of how he came to faith. You know Paul, right? Before he was Paul, what did he do? He persecuted the church. He attacked the church. He ravaged the church, the book of Acts says. But outwardly, Paul, as he was doing those things, outwardly he looked pretty clean. He looked pretty good, right? He called himself a Pharisee. He was zealous about the law of God. But inwardly, the book of Acts said he was filled with hatred and rage. He was consumed with himself and his own righteousness. So this man, Paul, is on the road to Damascus. And he's on the road to Damascus to go to Damascus to persecute Christians. And as he's on the road, Jesus meets him. And the glory of Jesus blinds Paul. Blinds him. Stops him in his tracks. So Paul, as he falls to the ground, he sees Jesus. Jesus tells him to go on to Damascus and someone will come and tell him what to do. Life changed. We're told that Paul goes on to Damascus and waits for 3 days. Picture him in a room, can't see because of being blinded by the glory of Christ, thinking about his life, that he has just met Jesus, the one who, Jesus said, "Why are you persecuting me, Saul?" So imagine what is going through his head. Imagine the guilt that he is going through. Yeah, he sat there. He basically led the stoning of Stephen. Led a group to kill a man who now he sees was a righteous man, a man of God. Imagine his guilt as he thought about what he did. In Acts 8, we're told he ravaged the church, entered house after house, dragging off men and women, throwing them in prison. And now he realizes, Paul in this moment realizes that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is alive. Jesus is King. So Ananias comes to him and tells him what his mission will be. But after Ananias, in Acts 22 we see this, after he speaks for a short time, he basically says, "What are you waiting for? Go, Paul, be baptized. Wash away your sins, calling on his name." Yes, you have all this junk in your past. Yes, you murdered people. Yes, you ravaged the people of God. Go be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. Now, is Ananias' theology just a little bit off there, and he thinks that through baptism, Paul will find this cleansing? No. Ananias is pointing him to the gospel. He's pointing him to the truth that is pictured in baptism. Through the waters of baptism, there really is cleansing. Because the waters of baptism point to the blood of Jesus Christ, the only place of true cleansing. 1 John, Jesus' blood cleanses us from all sin. So Paul's an example given to us in Scripture. Horrible past, meets Jesus, call to believe and be baptized. Why? Believe that Jesus gives the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection life, and that Jesus completely cleanses us of every sin and stain. Everything. Baptism points us to this beautiful place of cleansing that's only found in the blood of Christ. A hymn, a beautiful hymn that we often sing. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. It's the only place of cleansing. It's the only place of pardon. Baptism points to that beautiful truth. We think of the guilt of our lives. We think of the things we've done. We each can go through these things. And we feel the dirtiness of our souls. What do? We go to Jesus. His blood was shed. And in his blood, in his precious blood, there is cleansing. There is true cleansing. C.H. Spurgeon said this, pointing to the cleansing we have in the blood of Christ. The glory of salvation is that whoever believes in the Lord Jesus is completely pardoned. It's not some of his sin that is put away, but all of it. We are plunged into the fountain of redeeming blood and cleansed from every fear of ever being found guilty before the living God. We are accepted in the Beloved through the righteousness of Jesus Christ, justified once for all and forever before the Father's face. Christ said, "It is finished," and finished it is. And oh, what a bliss is this. One of the things that may well stagger those who have never heard it before, but let them not reject it because it staggers them, but rather let them say, this wonderful system which saves, saves completely, in an instant, simply by looking out of self to Christ, is a system worthy of divine wisdom, for it magnifies the grace of God and meets man's deepest necessities. That's why we're here. That's our mission, to point people to what Jesus has done. Complete pardon, perfect cleansing. Whatever your past, whatever your present, come to Jesus and find this. Find this cleansing. Find this forgiveness. Lastly, in the Presbyterian tradition, at least, the Reformed tradition, they would say that we need, that the pastor or the church leader would say, we need to improve upon our baptism. And I didn't know what that meant growing up in the circles I grew up in. Improve upon your baptism. What does that mean? Know what baptism points to. See the picture? You see the picture of the water? The cleansing, improve upon it by knowing that that is true. Receive this. God condescends to us in community. Know it's true. Believe the gospel. There is cleansing. And know that in your life, as you think, I am someone who has been baptized, who has been washed, that I will commit. I will improve upon my baptism. How? I will turn away from the dirt. I will turn away from it, and I will commit to live a life of holiness, of purity, of clean living, we could say. How? As the dirt comes, as the dirt remains, we live lives repenting of the sin, repenting of the dirt, bringing it before the cross of Jesus, repentance before God, confessing our sins, coming to the only place of cleansing again and again and again, the blood of Jesus Christ. Repentance, cleansing, committed to live for Him. Improve upon your baptism in this way. Think back to your baptism. Know that there's cleansing in Jesus. And know that through the process of coming to the blood of Christ, there is cleansing to live clean lives before Him. One pastor, let me close with this, I think gives helpful counsel for us as we think about these things. He says some of us become Christians and just go on our merry way, never thinking of sin, while others fixate on our failings and we suffer from despair. One Christian feels no conviction of sin. The other feels no relief from sin. Neither of these habits should mark the Christian. The Christian should often feel conviction, should often confess the sin, and then be cleansed. The cleansing, mind you, is not like expunging guilt, expunging of a guilty record before the judge. That's already been accomplished. This cleansing is more like the scraping of barnacles off the hull of a ship so it can move more freely. We need confession of sin before God like a child needs to own up to her mistakes before mom and dad, not to earn God's love, but to rest in it and to know it more fully. 1 John 1:9 then is not just about getting saved, it's about living as a saved person and enjoying it. When we are truly guilty of sin, it is imperative we repent and we receive God's mercy. Paul had a clean conscience, not because he never sinned, but I imagine because he quickly went to the Lord when he knew he was wrong and rested in the no condemnation of the gospel. If we confess our sins, John says, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We aren't meant to feel borderline miserable all the time. We are meant to live in the joy of our salvation. So when we sin, and we'll all sin, we confess it, we get cleansed, and we move on. This underlines one of the great dangers with constant guilt. We learn to ignore our consciences. We ignore the sin. We ignore those things. If we are truly sinning, we need to repent and implore the Lord to help us change. But if we aren't sinning, If we are perhaps not as mature as we could be, or not as disciplined as some believers, or we are making different choices that may be acceptable and not extraordinary, then we should not be made to feel guilty. Maybe we should be challenged, stirred, and inspired, but not guilty. Because there really is cleansing in the blood of Christ. This is how we live our ongoing lives as Christians. And baptism points us to this beautiful cleansing that's only found in the blood of Jesus Christ. So that's it. Baptism is a central part of the mission of God. We pray that we would see it a lot here in the life of the church. Pray that it be a major part of our church. We're committed to working together, even though we have some different approaches, different understandings of it. But we believe baptism is a gift to us, is a gift to you, that you will understand that there is cleansing in the blood of Christ, complete cleansing from everything we can imagine in our past. Let's pray together.